Lord, all of us are a lot like Nicodemus, Lord. We struggle to get the eternal truths that you want to share with us. But this evening, Lord, we want to ask you for the grace, Lord, that your Spirit will quicken in us the ability to understand, to receive eternal truths, that it might pierce our hearts, that our ears will be open to hear, our eyes will see what you want to share with us. Have your way, King. We trust you that you will lead us. We trust you that which is not of you will be cast away. And we trust you for life this evening. Amen. So, 2022 years ago, human history changed. Just saying those words, that there's a number when Jesus died, should make it clear that prior to that day, nobody really knew about Jesus Christ. There was, the Jews knew about him because he offended them terribly. Some Gentiles knew about him. But a lot of people didn't know about Jesus. He was born in a very small place. In fact, our Jesus was born to probably a girl of around 14 to 16 years, married to a much older man, gave birth to this king, our king, who gave up his heavenly privileges, being adored, the creator of all, giving it up to become a baby, somebody that's carried in our arms, unable to care for himself, unable to do anything, having, I'm going to use this analogy, but he sucked on his mother's breast for food. That's all he could do, our king. That is offensive, to be honest, that the Creator would make himself that helpless. But he did. And then they left to Egypt, because the enemy had other plans. And then he came back, and this illegitimate son had to wait till he was 30 years old before he could walk in the ministry that God had for him. 30 years old, and then the Holy Spirit empowered him to set the captives free, to break down walls, bring deliverance, to let the kingdom of heaven be made visible here on earth, to train up men and women to do the things that he did. We look at him afresh today, knowing that he has saved us from the pleasure of sin, as well as from the penalty of sin. He continues to save us from the power of sin. And one day, he will ultimately save us from the presence of sin. That's what he did. He came to deal sin a death blow. So how did Jesus actually do this? Like how does Nick alluded to John 3:16 that the Father gave his only begotten Son? How does giving his Son actually make us not have sin anymore or be free from sin? Like how does that work? Anybody here got some answers? Great. You're at the right place. So, when we look at Scripture, it says that in Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For it's by grace that you have been saved, that saved from eternal death." That's what they're talking about here. Not an army, not debt collectors or any earthly thing. You've been saved from eternal death through faith. And this is not for you from yourselves, but it is the gift of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. So they are alluding to Jesus' death. We are saved from eternal damnation by faith, which is a gift from God. And then it's not just we are saved, but we have become a new creation. The old nature that produced the sin has been dealt with. How does this work? So there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus by night, intrigued about what Jesus was saying. Unfortunately, Nicodemus was blind, deaf, and dumb to the truths that Jesus wanted to share with him. Seeing that none of this really made impact with him. Like, he was asking, he was responding with foolishness to God's truths that Jesus was speaking to him. Jesus changed the object of his story. Instead of speaking to Nicodemus what must happen in his or in our lives, he changed around to what's going to happen to Jesus. So let's read John 3, verse 13 to 15. I don't have it here, unfortunately. Actually, I do. So, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who comes down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Jesus is just completely changing the focus of the discussion to him. Speaking about the new birth, wind, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is now saying, "I am the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus is drawing a parallel between himself and a snake. And between the Israelites and us. So a minute ago, Jesus was still speaking about the new birth, Holy Spirit, wind, and now he's talking about a snake on a pole. In fact, he's himself. You know, he's saying to Nicodemus, "I'm going to be that snake." Now, I think we're all fine with Jesus being a lamb. We're all fine with Jesus being the lion. But for us to live, Jesus had to become a snake. And the place that he's referencing is in Numbers 21. And I think it's valuable for us to understand what happened there, to understand how that relates to our being set free. I'm just going to read that portion. So Numbers 21, verse 4 to 9. "They," that's the Israelites, "traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food, the manna that God has been providing for them daily. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made the bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So I don't want this to be, there's a lot happening here, but essentially the Israelites sinned gravely towards God. This is not the beginning. They've now been walking 40 years with God. The very people that are now saying, "God, why did you take us from Egypt?" had never been in Egypt. The generational curse was still there. Their parents have died. They are the new generation asking Moses, "Why did you take us from Egypt?" Their sin was ultimately towards God's governance, the way God does things. God's purposes, God's designated authority, and God's provision. The focus here is that this is not the first time they've grumbled. They've grumbled many times. In fact, this is the eighth time that they've grumbled against God. In fact, what changed here is they've stopped wondering and started marching, because just prior to this, in Numbers 21, verse 1 to 4, they've just had a victory over the Canaanites. They became an army. They were on their way towards the promised land. And yet, even God providing them the victory didn't change their heart towards it. And in their sin, in their rebellion and hatred towards God, He sends snakes upon them. God judges their sin. And their sin brings a curse. The curse is the snakes that bite them. So their sin had a result, and that result is the curse. Curse of death. Because if they were bitten by the snake, they died. Ultimately, their sin resulted in their death. Convicted by their sin and helpless to save themselves, they go to a mediator. They don't go to God. They go to a mediator. Such a picture of Jesus. I know I'm changing it, but when the Lord just showed me this, that, like, I know, we know they said to Moses, "Now you go and up and meet with God." Here in their moment of desperation, they just wanted to stone Moses. They wanted to kill him. Like, they go to him again. "Please pray for us. We need a mediator. We can't ask him ourselves. Please." And Jesus, our high priest, the very people who killed him, is the one on the cross who says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's why Moses had to be so humble. So that it doesn't matter what the things were done to him, would not change his heart for God's purposes for his people. God wants a humble priest that will intercede for this rebellious people. without question. You see Max is just doing it over and over. And Moses intercedes and God relents his wrath in providing a way out. But his way out did not look like the Israelites wanted it to look. They asked him to remove the snakes. And God said, I will save you from the snakes. God did not take away the curse, but gave them a way out. And Moses made this bronze snake. And to the Israelites, bronze would point to judgment. If you look at the tabernacle, the laver in which you had to wash your hands, it spoke of God's judgment. And here this copper or bronze snake is a representation of the sin, the curse that is amongst them because of their sin. The wages of their sin, they experienced it. Very real. We see a snake would be symbolic of rebellion, deception, being a cursed animal. The snakes were a sign of God's judgment. The snake represented the curse of their sin. The venom burned if they were bitten. That's why they call it fiery serpents. It burned and ultimately led to their death. The snakes weren't taken away, but God provided salvation from the death the curse represented. And the bronze snake saved those who were bitten and who looked at it. Those were the two things that the bronze snake did. You had to acknowledge, I've been bitten. And then you had to acknowledge that this snake somehow is going to make me bitten. But God required an act of faith. He didn't give them antivenom or remove the snakes. But he said, look at your sin. Look at it, and I will save you. You can't save yourself. Your own nature produced this. So I want us to come back to verse 14 and 15, where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And I want us to take the images and references to try and understand what is Jesus actually saying to Nicodemus. Because he's taking Nicodemus back to what happened to the Israelites. Because that's going to reference what happens to him. And Jesus is saying that he is the snake. He has to become our substitute. Because we see that the Israelites were unable to save themselves from this curse that was amongst them. And ultimately, for God to be a just God, he must punish sin. In fact, all sin is ultimately towards God. For those who are under the law, we are unable to keep the law. Because if we break one, we break all of them. And ultimately, God's law isn't the problem, but our nature is the problem. The curse comes from the sin. Our sin nature produces sin. We are not mostly good and sometimes sin. Unfortunately, we are sinners, therefore our nature is to sin. we cannot escape our nature, nor can we satisfy the guilt that our sin has placed in us. We are helpless to satisfy God's wrath on sin. The only way to escape death, the only reason Jesus or God punishes sin by death, we see it. There's sin, snakes come, and people die. Then the people are very sorry. I think they come to recognition that their sin caused it, but also people are dying. It's not good to see people die. Death is not good for us. They needed somebody to resolve this issue that they could not themselves. And so do we. So did Nicodemus, and so do us. So do all of us. We need someone to pay the price for our sin. The Word of God said, "My sin is ever before you." Or David said in one of his Psalms, when he spoke of God, "My sin is ever before you." Like I said earlier, God is everywhere at all times, but He also does not gain information. He knows all the things at all of the times. Therefore, He knows all of what you have done. Until you have repented of it and it's been dealt with, He knows about it. Then He chooses to forget it. But He knows about it. So, the price for sin is death. You see it in the first instance when Garden of Eden. Jesus said that if you eat of that fruit, you will die. As soon as we sin, death comes in. That is the price of our sin. So I'm just saying that in short, somebody needs to die for our sin, but we are unable to fulfill that bounty. We cannot. So Jesus took on our sin and its curse on the cross. He took the penalty that God had given to us, or that sin causes, upon Himself. And the only way we can benefit from that is if we actually believe that our sin, your old nature, is there. Because if Jesus did not die for all of your sin, then we are guilty. I'm just going to put that out there. If you do not believe that He died for all of you, who you were, who you're going to be, then guilt remains. But all of my old Pietri, my old nature, remember, it's not just our sin, it's our nature that needed to be put on the cross. Because our nature produces sinful acts. We need a new nature. Not just our sin, but Jesus had to take all of the old Pietri, the pleasure of sin. The flesh likes sin. Like, we don't have to sugarcoat it. Sin is okay. People like to sin. It's why most people do it. But it's the pleasure of sin that God also deals with. That we now have a new Father we want to please. Not the earthly one. But we can only have new life It says in verse 15, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Even though Jesus death satisfied all the sin's penalty. Like Jesus' death, because he had no sin, all sin could be imparted to him. Because he was pure and undefiled, a blameless lamb, he could take our snake-like nature upon him. Because it says, anybody who dies, who's on a pole, becomes a curse. So he takes our curse. The Word of God said that Jesus took our place and that he made us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus took our place and he was made sin for us. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He gives us his righteousness. That which is unable to attain ourselves. When he took all of piety, like the mouths, like at home, just at home, like just when I was in school, and the way I saw my sister today. And there's been, God has brought a lot of restoration there because I was very mean to my sister. But I really did terrible things to my sister. I really hurt her deep. And God has bring restoration, but if he did not deal with that, then somehow that guilt needs to be dealt with. But he dealt with all of it. All of it. Past, today. What did I do today? Oh, I didn't drive with a safety belt and I drove too fast. So he dealt with all of those things. And the stuff that's coming. All of it. Because if he does not do it, it means I'm still guilty. You are still guilty if he didn't do all of it. And if you don't believe it, you don't have eternal life. It's that simple today. Either you believe all of your sins were on the cross with him, or you're still guilty. That's the option we have. That's what Jesus did. Because he was blameless, he could take our guilt because he substituted himself for us. He became a snake that we can look upon Jesus. Look at your sin. We know that we celebrate that he is risen. And we're going to do it now when we take the communion. But before he was risen, all of Peter's sin was there. All of it. Every bit. And he's able to lead us in this new life. Because we have a new nature and a new dad. And only through receiving that are we free. Emmy, can we play that song, please? There's a new song that the Shofar Band brought out. It's called Break the Bread. We're just going to play that song whilst we are giving out the communion. It's a very anointed song, and hopefully we still have power until such time. Is it ready, Emmy? You can take this slide off.
Is it a play? Thank you. Your body was broken. Your head pierced with thorns. Your wrists and your feet had nails driven in them. Your body was broken. And we might be healed. Jesus, we break this bread in remembrance of your completed work. Lord, as that song said, you're welcome here. It's an open door. We can welcome you in because your blood was poured out for us. Took our sin upon you, were pierced for our transgression. God, we remember your blood being spoiled. We stand in you. Drink the silence to remember that we are being saved through your sacrifice, and that we have a free gift of salvation because Jesus became sin. Lord, we celebrate because the enemy didn't understand what you did. Your death and resurrection meet his plans will fail. You won the victory on the cross. We rejoice in your resurrection because with you, Lord, we too have been resurrected to new life, free from sin. God, you've given us a new nature. And if we walk in faith, God, that old man, Lord, and all its desires will come to an end. Because you've given us a new beginning, Jesus. We praise you. We lift your name. Hosanna. Mighty in battle. Strong in power. Who is like you, Jesus? Hosanna.